Welcome to episode 391 of Entertainment 2.0, brought to you by the Digital Media Zone. I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. And today, I am joined by fan favorite James Montemagno.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
It is going really well. You know, our friend Josh has a crazy week going on, and considering that he has kept this going all the times that I have been traveling or been dealing with life events, we have to give him a week off every once in a while.
You got to do it. You got to do it. And I didn't know I was super fan favorite, so I'm super excited to be back as always. And this will be the first time for the DM for Entertainment 2.0, at least, that it was just me and you. Solo run, Richard and James experience for the listeners. I'm pretty excited about it. I mean, it's always Josh and me, and Josh often, he in quotes, forgets to contact me when you can't record. So he records them by himself, and I'm like, hey, I'm always available. You know, just let me know. I'm in. You know, I love things like technology, audio, video, and gaming, and I have a Windows PC and an Xbox. I love these things. And, you know, I love the DMZ. I'm a long time fan, long time podcaster, long time, like, eating sushi with Richard when he comes to Seattle. It's great times.
You happen to know a little bit about Microsoft.
Just a little bit. Yeah. I happen to currently work for Microsoft as a principal program manager for the mobile developer tools for iOS and Android. So kind of when we in the developer landscape, not so much the consumer landscape, but I often do surprisingly talk to a lot of the teams that are working on apps that you guys happen to talk about. So I'm like, oh, I know that team that worked on that. So it's kind of cool, actually. Even though I do work for Microsoft, I don't really know much. We have a big company. I think every time I come on the podcast, it's like, we're a big company. I usually have no idea what's going on. So sometimes it's a surprise to me, like some of these things that we're going to talk about today, which I'm super excited about.
Well, that's good. That keeps you out of trouble, right? I don't really know anything. I'm just going to talk about what I know. So.
Exactly. I'm an enthusiast.
All right.
And, you know, I'm an enthusiast. It's so funny that bring us back full circle, right? When I started RevoHTPC.com, Josh had me on Entertainment 2.0. We should find that podcast and link back to it, because it was a long time ago.
It was.
And then I joined Seton and built my media center. And then I recorded the movie podcast here at the DMZ, and I wrote the DMZ apps, and I did a whole bunch of other stuff. And then I went and go work for Xamarin, and then back at Microsoft. It's this whole full crazy circle. It's lovely.
It is a crazy circle, but yeah, it's all good. And we love having you back. So thanks for joining on this episode. And we don't have any feedback to run through, but if people want to leave feedback for us, they can do that by sending messages through email to entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Or if they want us to hear their sultry voices on the air, like people are listening to you in this episode, they could record their voices and send that attachment or a link to the voice file, and we'd be happy to play that too. So get in touch, and we'll be sure to include your feedback in an upcoming episode. In the meantime, let's dive right in, and we'll start with video, but I just want to start off by saying, James, happy Plexivus.
Absolutely. Happy. It's the Plexivus for the rest of us, and I'm very excited about it. I'm a longtime PlexPass member myself. I just looked it up. Going on almost 3 years as a PlexPass member. That is a tongue twister. I don't know why they did that. But yeah, it's a super good deal. Run this down for us.
Yeah, so Plex is doing a 12 days of special event that they're calling Plexivus. And each day they're giving away something different. For example, you could enter and have a chance at winning one of the new NVIDIA Shield boxes. Pretty good deal.
Like
you
that.
Could win a Plex Pass. Also a pretty good deal. And all you have to do is go to the Plex Facebook page and post a comment on their page to participate in this event. So we'll have a link to our story about this, and that'll send you to the place where you need to go so that you can participate in these drawings. Now, the other thing that's good to know is that they're also making the Plex Pass, which has become kind of expensive over the years. It now costs $150 for a lifetime pass. That is 20% off now for the holidays, and that means that you can pick it up for under $120. Nice.
Yeah, and it's super great. I've been a premium member for a long time, and you know, I keep coming back every few months and just looking at this list when you go to the Plex Pass section. And I mean, it includes obviously brand new features like the Plex DVR, the automatic photo tagging that you guys have talked about, the mobile sync, the offline sync, the lyrics, the mood mixes, the premium music, multiple users, parental controls, trailers and extras, camera upload. And of course, you get early access to all these cool betas and new features that they're adding all the time. And honestly, at 20% off, it makes a fantastic gift that you can give. At the very bottom of this page, you can just give the Plex Pass as a gift to your friends and loved ones who love entertainment and media and who doesn't love that. You'll bring holiday joy to your family by giving a Plex Pass. And they're not sponsors. We're just fans.
We are big fans, and we end up talking about them all the time. Mm-hmm. And we have even more news from Plex. So you just spoke about how you get early access to new stuff. One of the things that you can get early access to with the Plex Pass is the Plex DVR. And they just updated that to beta 4. Run us through some of the things that are in that.
Yeah, so they're obviously still working on a lot of things, and I'm super excited about it. You and I were talking about this show, how I'm waiting for the new NVIDIA Shield that's rumored, quote unquote, rumored to come out at CES, and I'm definitely going to buy immediately and replace my Nexus player. I'm excited to get back into the NAS and all this stuff, NAS drives. But they added a brand new recommended for you hub. This will refresh your EPG guide data. They're going to use all your recommendation engines and give you recommendations for TVs, all this good stuff that you know and love. But also, it seems like to me that they really essentially looked at speed and performance for this update. So they say massive speed up loading dashboard. So it's essentially all of your dashboard, everything loading will be way faster. And then, a whole bunch of bug fixes and updates. My favorite is that they say garbage collection, which is a very big developer term. The garbage collection policy of, like, you know, how many shows do I keep, and they'll reevaluate these, and they've fixed a lot of bugs around them. But I mean, this thing works on everything. I think they added more support for different NAS devices like Netgears and Unraid and Drobos and Seagates and essentially anything that you can think out of. So it seems like a smaller update in general for beta 4, but some important things. It seems like they really want to grow the platform around recommendations and use what you're watching, because you already have all your content, right? You have your TV shows, you have your movies, and now you're starting to record stuff in the EPG. So,
yep. Yeah, I use this all the time. I love it. One of the things that they fixed in this update is a problem where your EPG stopped updating if it ran into problems. And I actually ended up running out of data, not knowing it, and I missed a bunch of recordings as a result. So this will end up fixing that problem, which is a good thing. And as I mentioned before, I have not been in any big hurry to fix my Media Center box, which has not been recording for quite some time now, because this has done such a good job of doing the same thing for me, recording the shows that I want to watch, making them available in an interface that I'm in nearly every day anyway. And I don't really have to worry about live TV because I hardly ever watch live TV.
Yeah, that's how we are too. Like, we're always in Hulu or Netflix, and there's sometimes that I just want to record something because I don't want to, I'm already have it, so I don't want to buy it later. And I'm just excited to have this back because I've actually, people have listened when I did the Android TV switch, I went away from being able to do any DVR recordings, and now Plex is bringing me back. And I'm actually super excited because down in my basement, I have my old home server, like actual Windows home server, and I want to bring that back and I want to get all my movies back. I'm really excited. Hopefully in 6 months, I can come back onto the show and just talk about my experience from, you know, to it, from it, and back, and my Plex integrations around the house. And everything that Plex is doing just really impresses me. I'm super excited about this. And I will say, in this, right currently, They have updates for almost every single thing, whether you're on Windows, Ubuntu, CentOS, and all the NAS devices. NVIDIA Shield build will be out soon. So if you're on the NVIDIA Shield specific build, make sure you check out the forum post for the beta 4.
And as a reminder, if you're running the beta, do not take the regularly notified updates that come out on the Plex server. You do not want those. Those will override your beta. So only download the betas from the Plex forums, and we'll have a link in the show notes to the most recent download in its continued diehard naming scheme. Beta 4, a good day to DVR hard.
I got to feel like they're getting close, right? Because one,
are there
only so
any
many
more diehard movies? I don't think there are there?
Yeah. I don't think so. And and I got to feel like they're getting close. Even in this blog post, it says we're still working hard to get the DVR feature merged into the main line. In developer terms, they want to merge a branch from that feature branch into the main. And the problem there is that sometimes the different feature branches are a little out of line. So it's probably taking them some time. And plus getting feedback from their users. You don't want to rush a thing like this. It's
no, I'm glad they approach it this way. But it'll be nice when it is in the main branch, because then... Mm-hmm. DVR users will also be able to take advantage of the new photo features and some of the content discovery fixes that have been put into recent updates that otherwise we're not able to use right now. So yeah, that's good. Now, we spoke about Plex a little bit in the last episode because Josh mentioned that there were updates to Plex Media Player. And I want to make some quick corrections to what we said last week about that. Josh mentioned that the Plex Home Theater was getting an update, but in fact, Plex Home Theater is a separate product that is specifically designed for the 10-foot interface and remains in place. It has integration capability with Windows Media Center, and it is designed for a 10-foot interface. It's starting to look a little bit aged, actually. You know, it's a little stale. It doesn't have a lot of the features that the newer Plex apps have. I personally don't like the interface anywhere near as much as the newer Plex apps. Plex Media Player, which is a standalone application that can run on Windows, Mac, Linux, all sorts of platforms, that is what has been updated. And that now has, in addition to the standalone mode, which makes it look and work almost exactly like the web experience, that now has a full screen experience that allows you to work with a remote control or a game controller or your key controllers on your keyboard to navigate it as if it were a 10-foot interface. And that is the tiled interface that you're used to seeing for Plex on Xbox and on many other devices. So just a little bit of a clarification there. Plex Home Theater, still in place, still integrates with Media Center. Plex Media Player is a standalone app, does not integrate with Windows Media Center. And I actually want to bring that up because I have been playing with this a little bit to see if I can make it do so. And with some brute force registry hacks, it is possible, but I don't have it fully working yet. I would love to know if anybody in the listening audience has attempted to do this and has done it successfully, because what I'd like to see is I would love for the Plex Home Theater app in my home to just go away. And then be able to integrate the new Plex Media Player in full screen mode with Media Center. I think that would be the best of all worlds if I could get that going.
Yeah, and you know, I think that they'd really need to tighten. That's one thing Plex, from a third party looking in, is they need to tighten up this product line. Because even when you go to their site, there's like mobile streaming devices, TVs and consoles, and then computer. And under Home Theater PC lives it says your HTPC running Plex Media Player, which runs from PCs to Raspberry Pis to Mac Minis. You know, that can be confused because you're under the Home Theater PC, and if they have a product,
absolutely,
you know, so it's just a marketing thing. But
no, I fully agree. And in fact, I was talking with their PR folks about this, that I thought that the way they promoted this was a little bit confusing. I didn't understand what they were saying that they were updating when I first read their release and when I first read the blog post. So a little bit of research helped clarify that for me, and I wanted to clarify that for our listeners. Now, our listeners also know that I am a big fan of PlayOn, and PlayOn has some deals for the holidays, as they often do. Their lifetime desktop license is now available for just under $40 instead of the usual roughly $70 price. So now's a great time if you're thinking about running PlayOn locally on a machine that you have in your home, if you want to record stuff locally off of your online services.
I never understood PlayOn, to be honest. I never quite got it. I always thought that it was like a way of playing some like YouTube content inside of Media Center. And it's been a long time since I looked at PlayOn. And I think I hear you guys talking about it all the time. But you can record the content. Is that even legal?
We have talked about PlayOn a number of times, and it's a service that I like a lot. But you're absolutely right, James. I don't understand how it's legal. I don't get it. It's actually recording off of the screen what you would be playing if you were watching it live.
I get it.
Time shifting live streaming.
But it's recording your screen most likely, not the actual content. So it's
exactly.
Weird. Interesting. I get it.
Exactly. It's the pseudo analog way of capturing the content. Yeah, it's really interesting. And we spoke with them a lot at the Pepcom event a couple of years ago. And to try and better understand their approach and how they're doing it and what their objective is, their desktop app is actually pretty nice. Mm-hmm. And I use it to schedule subscriptions for certain shows. Like there are a couple shows on Hulu and a couple shows on some of the other channels that I use it for. But it's also really good if you have something like HBO Go.
Mm-hmm.
For HBO Go, it's great if you're connected.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Yeah.
Just like you, I spend a lot of my life on airplanes.
Yep.
And I can't watch streaming video on airplanes. So what it lets you do is it lets you record, now again, in real time, something on demand, and then it's on your device and you can go watch it on your plane.
It makes sense. Yeah, I spend about 2 weeks out of the year either in an airport or in the physical sky. And that's a big problem. You can't stream anything. You don't have access to anything. You can barely log in with GoGo. It's abysmal. It has not gotten better in the recent years. I mean,
no, granted,
we're literally in a bucket in the sky and we're complaining about being connected to the internet. But don't sell it to me for $29.95. You know, is the first point, which is actually it's two flights and you can pay for this one time lifetime membership deal per plan, which is actually a pretty cool idea when you think about it. So how you described it now kind of makes it all make sense to me, right? So if you're watching this back, just for instance, just happened to watch the entire season of Westworld this weekend.
There you
go. Fantastic show. But maybe I want to rewatch it. So maybe I was play-oning it while I was watching it. And then boom, I could take it with me wherever I want to go. Genius idea.
Yeah, exactly.
That's an amazing loophole that they got around.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now they also have a cloud service that we've talked about a little bit in the past. And the pricing on that, in my opinion, and in many people's opinion, is a little bit high. And here, again, in my opinion, is where I'm concerned that they may get into a little bit of hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're offering you cloud services to select and record the content for you on their servers and make it available on their servers for you to watch from the cloud or to download and watch on your own device.
Mm-hmm.
And for that service, they charge you $1 an episode.
Hmm. Here's what they're doing. You ready for it? They're spinning up a VM, aka virtual machine.
Absolutely.
For you. And then they're logging in with your account and then
Absolutely.
They're recording the screen. Genius
yes.
Idea. Yeah.
Yes. That is exactly what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, remember Aereo?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The
big boys aren't huge fans of this, which is why, you know, Plex, for instance, is your content, it's your media, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah, cloud recording, that's interesting. But they do have a deal on it, 30% off.
So now off. Why not? You can pay just 70 cents instead of 99 cents an episode during their holiday deal. So you buy credits and you use those credits over time. That's how Play on Cloud works. I'll talk a little bit more about Play on Cloud in the future. I have lots of opinions about it. I think it's a cool service. I think it's a little clunky, and I don't like that it is not better integrated with the existing Play on infrastructure that you may already have on your devices.
Oh, I see. So. Yeah. And it makes me feel a little anxious. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? Imagine I'm like, hey, you know what? I have a HBO Go membership. I would love to watch all of Westworld, you know, this weekend. So I'm like, hey, Play on Cloud, you go ahead and record that puppy for me.
Right.
And then it does. And it's like, hey, you got these episodes. That's a pretty cool service because, again, it is recording in real time. So there is a VM that's running for 10 hours of however long Westworld is and is recording it for you. Very, very, very smart loophole. But it makes me tingle. You know, I went all legal many, many moons ago. And I'm a big fan of paying for content, which is like weird that I never like. I love like the idea of paying for content, which is why I would love to have purchased Westworld. And you and I have talked about this in the past. I would love to have purchased Westworld. HBO wouldn't let me. They wouldn't let me give them my money.
Right.
But Amazon gave me a sweet deal of getting the HBO Go deal. This actually might be still going on. Check Amazon. You can add HBO channel to your Amazon Prime account for a full month free. So you can watch Westworld and then we can discuss it. Hit me up on Twitter at James Montemagno.
Yeah. No, that is a really good deal. And if you have HBO Now, which is what I think that really is, not HBO Go. HBO Go would mean that you have a cable subscription to HBO, but HBO Now is the service that you would have if you don't have the cable. Why they're different, I'll never know. But anyway, that's actually part of Play on Cloud.
Oh, whoa, crazy.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. Bananas. I'm excited for this. Yeah. I'm excited for the next section, which is like changing from video, which is all we're talking about, all to audio. And do you mind if I tackle this first one?
Oh, go for it. I am so excited about this.
Now, one, I'm not a Spotify subscriber. Two, I'm not a Sonos owner. But hey, I love when people can take their music anywhere throughout their house. And I have friends that have been dying for this service for a long time, which is that if you are a Sonos speaker owner and a Spotify subscriber, or I'm pretty sure a free account, you can now cast, I'm going to say cast, even though you're going to essentially stream directly from your Spotify account to your Sonos, and you can control your Sonos at the same time. This has been in beta for a few months, but they're releasing a big update that is going to allow Spotify directly play to your Sonos speakers for all users. And you can kind of essentially think of it as it makes any Sonos device into a Spotify Connect speaker. So if you're used to the Spotify Connect experience, it's going to be there. But the bonus is that it's also going to have the multi-room functionality built in, which is huge because, of course, you want music throughout your house and you probably have Sonos throughout your entire house. So this is finally coming and it's hitting to your mobile applications, your desktop apps. The only problem is that it is only for premium subscribers, unless I'm reading this wrong somewhere.
No, I think that's right. I think this only works for premium, but I have to say, I love this. I think the implementation that they did is fantastic. And if you're a Spotify user who uses the Windows desktop application for Spotify, you will now be able to see your Sonos devices listed in there and you can play to any of them. Or if you have your Sonos app open and you're playing Sonos content, or sorry, Spotify content on your Sonos, then your Spotify app is aware of that. It knows that it's being used and it will show that it is now playing on the Sonos devices. This is seamless integration. Now go to your phone. Let's say you have an Android phone or an iPhone. You go to your phone, you open Spotify, it knows that you're currently playing to your Sonos devices, and it asks you, do you want to switch the audio to this device now? So smart!
You love it. If you have Chromecast throughout your house, you've already experienced this for a long time.
Yes, sort of. I think sort of, this is,
on Android.
A little bit of a step better, because it's kind of two-way. And I can see a future, they're not talking about this, but I can certainly see a future where your Sonos system knows that you're home.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
And it does, because you communicate with your Sonos through your devices over your Wi-Fi network, not over the cloud. So when you get home from being in the car where you were listening to Spotify, or from being on a walk where you were listening to Spotify, when you reconnect your network, it could potentially automatically switch back to your network. In theory, we could get to a day where the music just automatically follows you based on a certain set of parameters by user. And that is the future that I want to live in, and I want it now.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was actually walking, I was playing music on my Google Home that being casted from my phone. And then when I left the apartment, I was taking out trash and I had headphones in. I didn't have headphones in. But when I left the apartment, I think it continued to stream in the Google Home, but then I modified something like on my phone. It got into a weird state, right? Like it knew that I left the Wi-Fi, so it didn't really have status that like, hey, the next song is being played on my Google Home because you're off the Wi-Fi. So like that would be kind of really cool if it just kind of had this experience of it. Hey, it knows exactly what you're about to do and where you're going. And not based off location. I'm a big fan that it doesn't, my Google Home or your Sonos, it doesn't need to know your GPS location. It just needs to know your Wi-Fi connectivity, right? If you're on, that's it. And it just looks for your MAC address and hey, like it knows, it can be smart enough. And that's really nice because then it's not exposing any of your location data anywhere, which is super smart.
And I'd like to see more location-aware things that have this concept of being home or not. Mm-hmm. Use that as the way of doing it. If this device is on the network for 60 seconds continuously, and it hasn't been for a period of time, then you just got home. There's no reason why we can't be doing that with the technology available today. In fact, that is how the new Securify Almond 3 router knows that you're home. It knows that your phone just got home because it connected to the network.
Yeah, and I mean, it literally gave you a MAC address at that time, and it's super smart. And if it's like it's on the router, it's pretty smart. I like it.
I do too. Love it.
I like it.
All right, now, there have been lots of rumors about Microsoft getting into the personal digital assistant appliance space. And it looks like, from a video that has been posted, that they're teasing that this is really going to happen, but not the way people thought.
Is it going to be a Surface Home?
I don't know that I would call it that. I think what I would call it is Cortana in a can. More specifically, Cortana in you name the device. And the first device we're likely to see with this is a speaker from Harman Kardon. There's a great video posted showing someone asking Cortana to play music, and the Harman Kardon speaker responds with Cortana's voice, plays the music, similarly asking Cortana for information through the speaker. So the day will be here sometime next year when Microsoft is playing in the same space that now Google and Amazon have already laid ground in.
Yeah, and to be honest, Cortana has the best voice. Like, if I want to talk to somebody, I'd rather probably talk to Cortana than Google. I don't know, the Google Assistant, terrible name. And then, of course, Echo's Assistant. So it's kind of interesting. I looked at this video, the Harman, I always say the name wrong, Harman Kardon. Kardon?
Right.
Harman Kardon by Harman. I think that's what the official name is. It looks like a cool device, but it is starting to look like an Echo.
It's looking a lot like an Echo.
I don't like that. Yeah, I would wish that they would put, I'm a little bit biased because I work for Microsoft, but I love when Microsoft makes hardware. Say what you will about Windows Phone, but those Lumia devices are gorgeous.
Yeah, they're nice. Yeah.
And the Surface Book, gorgeous. Surface Studio, gorgeous. I mean, they're beautiful devices. I mean, and they're showcase devices. And, you know, CES is right around the corner, and I'm pretty sure you're going to be there. And I wish I was, because I would love to see, this is going to be a pivotal year for the Home Assistant, I think, and smart home and stuff like that. So it'd be cool to see if other things are leaked during this time or come out during this time. It's just a few weeks away.
Yeah. Exciting times for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, normally Josh would take the lead and talk about gaming at this point while I take a quick nap. So can you do us the favor and lead us through some of the stuff going on in gaming?
Oh, yeah. I'm dancing over here. One, we don't have it on the list. If you're listening right now, you are just minutes, maybe hours away to Mario, Super Mario Run coming out on your iPhone, which you should be downloading. I already have it on Notify. If you have an iOS device only, obviously, you should obviously go watch the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and see Miyamoto. There was actually a great YouTube video of Miyamoto measuring things. He likes to measure things. But Super Mario Run is like one of the first official. It's not on our lead, on our thing right now. By the way,
This is all James. This has nothing to do with Microsoft Entertainment.
Exactly. But it's Nintendo, and I love Nintendo. But let's loop it back around to some real. So Super Mario Run, go buy that. Anyways. I'm a big fan of the Xbox One S. I upgraded day one. I got the 2 terabyte bundle because I'm a madman. Yeah. I was like, I never want to think about storage ever again. And I don't want to put other things like attached to it. I'm just against it. But that was a really terrible idea on my call, because there's been so many unbelievable freaking deals this year. It's absolutely crazy. And they are honestly lowering the price and taking it to a whole nother level again, which is that they are now, between now and Christmas Eve, marking the Xbox One S 500 gigabyte bundles down to $249. That is mind-blowing. Like, this hardware, it's astronomical. And this is giving you the better upgraded controller, obviously the 500 gigabyte hard drive, but you're getting some games like Xbox or Battlefield 1 or the Minecraft bundle. And obviously you're getting the... what is that high resolution thing that my TV can't play yet for Blu-ray? 4K support. I can't even get it yet, but I can get it. It's crazy. And if you want to even upgrade a little bit more, you can get the 1 terabyte bundle with Gears of War 4 for $299, which is absolutely spectacular. So these bundles are just bonkers.
And it's amazing, because we really thought that these were only going to be like Cyber Weekend deals. We didn't expect that we'd see prices like these beyond the Good Friday, Cyber Monday time frame. And then they've come out and said, you know what? We're going to give you these crazy prices through Christmas Eve.
Yeah, go for it. And you know what? I mean, it's a great system. I highly recommend the 1S. I mean, not only is it super small, but like getting rid of that power brick alone is worth $249. And to be honest with you, I ended up selling my Xbox One to a friend of the show and an actual person on the show all the time, little Josh Pollard. But you can sell your things on Craigslist and get like plenty of money for it. But what I'm even excited about too is that, listen, you can go buy an Xbox One and then you can get free games. Like right now, you can get an Xbox Live Gold account, which I've been a member for 10 plus years at this point. And Games with Gold has changed how I play games on the Xbox One. Because they give you games every single month. And you know, Josh is always talking about it. We have a few deals expiring that you're going to want to grab. Hopefully you've already grabbed, which is Outland and Burnout. Outland for the Xbox 360. And what is that other
I think
one?
That's the only one that's expiring right now. Yeah. We have others that are coming in, though.
I hate how they do this. This is terrible.
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense.
So anyways, you still have Sleeping Dogs Definitive Edition. That is free, completely free. Pretty sweet game. Really like it. But what's coming in is going to be Outlast, which I've actually never heard of. It looks like a survival horror M-rated game that's going to be December 16th through January 15th, normally $19.99, but coming back for the Xbox 360. Awesome, super awesome game, Burnout Paradise. If you've never played Burnout Paradise, it's pretty spectacular. That is going to be free on your Xbox 360 and Xbox One between December 16th and to December 31st. So through the end of the year. So grab that. I don't grab every game. I don't know how you are, Richard, but I don't grab every game. I only grab the games that I care about on there. So
I pretty much grab everything unless it's something I know I would never be interested in. Like, I've never grabbed, for example, any of the... I think they've done deals on Madden occasionally. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've never grabbed... I think they had a wrestling game about a month or two ago. But anything else that looks like it'd be fun, I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? It's just bits.
I just don't want my Xbox One to turn into my Steam account where I have like 100+ Humble Bundle games in there. But you know what? There's also some good games on sale. There's a whole bunch. We'll put them in the show notes. But some standouts to me essentially are Dying Light, the following Enhanced Edition, $24. So this is Deals with Gold. Octodad. If you haven't purchased Octodad on any platform, pick up Octodad. It is absolutely ridiculous. Super awesome indie game. $3.75. You cannot pass that up. TMNT Mutants in Manhattan, $20. And of course, some other random deals on the Xbox 360 if you still are picking up Xbox 360 games for some reason.
Good stuff. Right. Well played. Thank you for handling our gaming this week.
Yeah. Besides the Super Mario Run, go pick that up. Give Nintendo all your money. Do it. Because you know how cool would it be if you support Nintendo, maybe they'll bring it to Windows machines, Mario on the desktop. That's never going to happen. But what if it did?
Like, really? Really? No. What if it did?
I don't think it's crazy. It's all about the Switch.
All right. Well, there's more going on at Microsoft, and we're going to talk a little bit about media in these spaces too. You can now get Dropbox on your Xbox One. So now you can look at your Word document. No, that's not what this is for at all.
You can collaborate in real time in PowerPoint.
And actually, that would not be terrible.
That wouldn't be a terrible idea.
This, you know, don't think documents here so much. Think files, and particularly think media. So we already have OneDrive on the Xbox, and that is really useful, particularly if you store media in your OneDrive account. Now, let's say you have photos in your Dropbox account. Dropbox, like all these other services, has the ability to automatically upload photos from your devices. So it could be the place where you're organizing those things. And if it is, now that can be available on your Xbox One, just like how you can get to content on your OneDrive. Now, that's not all. It can take content from your device. So if you have Kinect captures or screen grabs that you've done on the Xbox, you can upload those to Dropbox from your Xbox One. That's a pretty cool thing too. Gives you the ability to actually move and manage files easily through an account that, you know, frankly, there are more Dropbox accounts out there than there are OneDrive accounts in terms of active users. So this is a great thing. And the other thing, and I hadn't even really thought of this. In fact, I didn't even think this was possible because I expected that these apps would be more sandboxed than this. But apparently, this also gives developers the ability to get a file system access on their applications. And that previously has not been readily available.
That's pretty cool. So I like that.
That's something that a developer could take advantage of and potentially leverage file sharing or common file access via Dropbox. And certainly we're seeing tons of apps on mobile devices do that. There, I have to imagine that there are use cases that would be similarly advantageous on the Xbox platform.
I like it. Yeah, if you're using Dropbox already, it's like a no-brainer. You've been waiting for it, so go grab it. I think the video aspect, but also sharing video is super, super interesting. I didn't even think about that. But if you're maybe in the world of, hey, I already have all my photos on my Microsoft account, and maybe there's some new stuff going on there. Microsoft recently updated the Windows 10 application, which technically, if it's a Windows 10 UWP application, is the same app everywhere. They updated it with a brand new onboarding experience. But more importantly, what they did is they updated this brand new share and picker, so easily share with all of your favorite content, all of your favorite friends, but also all the different applications, so you can easily share your photos with Dropbox, with Facebook, with Messenger. So it's a little bit more of a curated way of sharing around, which is very nice. It's kind of like long overdue, I would think, inside of it. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, I really like the user interface. Looks really good. It looks like Android in a way when you look at it. Has all your favorite people that are up top. I think that's in the next update, though, which would be the creators update. Yes. from there, which is coming out hopefully soon. I don't know.
The delightfully future. Named Creators Update.
Terrible names. Terrible names. Terrible.
All right. Well, now Microsoft is continuing a tradition that we spoke about on the last episode, and that's the 12 days of deals. That's wrapping up now. As we record, we're on day 9. And they've had some interesting things. They've had deals on VR headsets from Oculus and from HTC. We've also seen some free games and some deals on cards, gift cards. So keep an eye on that. We'll probably be at the last day or two by the time that this show is published. But each day there's something new, and we don't really get a whole bunch of visibility into what it's going to be until we're there. So you need to check back every day. All right. Well, that wraps our news for this episode, but we like to spend a little bit of time talking about what's going on in our respective entertainment centers. I don't know if you're prepared to talk about this much, James, but I can jump in and talk about what I've been up to. Last time we spoke, my Drobo was in pieces.
I've heard about this. I've been listening to the fiasco for it feels like years now at this point.
And I reassembled it with a bit of a hack job. I installed my own fan in it that has separate power, and I have the power cord for that coming out of the device and plugged in separately from the Drobo itself.
It sounds like a nightmare.
But it all works.
It is alive. It's alive.
So, you know, essentially this thing is on permanent life support now. The equivalent of a respirator for my Drobo. And it's working. It's doing a good job of keeping it cool. I'm going to keep this thing going. And I bought two of the fans just in case this one dies too. I can replace it.
What's the long term on this? Are you going to try to move everything to a new server, to the cloud? What's going on in Richard's mind? Because you know you can't keep it on permanent life support. Like, that doesn't work.
I'm going to keep it on there as long as I possibly can.
Okay.
If I have to move it at some point, I will. If things are looking bleak, I may back it up. But you know, it's a Drobo. We're talking something like 12 terabytes of data so far.
That's a lot of that's actually very expensive in the cloud. I think when I looked at my Google Drive, I have a 1 terabyte promotion from when I bought a Chromebook a while ago, but it's expiring. And I'm like, oh, that's going to be expensive because I have over 100 gigs of data and emails and all my stuff that's up there. And even that gets expensive. It's like $100 a year, expensive in quotes, right? But even a terabyte, you can buy a terabyte drive for not that expensive. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about.
Well, this is where my movies are backed up. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of stuff on this, and I don't really want to have to rely on getting it from the cloud.
Yeah.
I want it to be local. I want it to be in the house. So I expect that if I were to switch off of this at some point in time, it would either be, believe it or not, to another Drobo, because I like the simplicity of them. I like the experience, or maybe a Synology or something like that.
Yeah, I'm about
but
to
what
go,
I like
yeah.
the what I like about the Drobo is that I know how to mess with these devices. Mm. Like, I know how to configure it. I know what it's capable of. I don't have to be too technical. I don't have to use some horrific Linux-based user interface to manage all of the capabilities that it has. It's easy, it's nice, and for the most part, with a couple technical glitches that I've been able to work around or through, it works.
Yeah, you know what? I'm actually thinking about going through this very similar process because I have all of my movies, all of my photos, all this stuff on this archaic Windows home server that's in my basement currently of our apartment complex. And I'm really thinking maybe a little Drobo type box would be great when I do that Plex DVR. And it kind of makes a lot of sense. And, you know, I'm a big fan of everything networked on my gigabit Ethernet and everything local as well. For my playback, right? I mean, internet goes out. It totally happens. And,
exactly.
And I want it. And if I can have it local, why not? A cloud backup is fine. But I'm interested. I'm going to seek the guidance of some people and from our listeners when I make that transition.
All right. Well, speaking of local content, I still purchase Blu-ray discs.
I'm a big fan. I purchased some as well.
And now, when it's available on a 4K UHD Blu-ray, that's what I buy.
And you buy both of them. You're like, I need the normal HD and the 4K UHD.
Well, no, luckily Ultra. They come together. So okay. That's a good thing. So I bought Secret Life of Pets.
Fantastic movie.
And this is a first for me. This is the first Ultra HD Blu-ray with digital copy, where the digital copy is also the Ultra HD version.
Ooh, interesting. Via
Voodoo.
Oh, Voodoo, nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I've actually been kind of aggravated by the fact that you can buy a movie in the 4K format. You end up, and I know I'm not saying that right, and I'm sorry, in Ultra HD, and then you go to get the digital copy, and it's just, I say just.
It's
the
just, HD it's just version. HD garbage.
It's just
lame. I can't even.
1080p
those
video.
Those blacks aren't true blacks. I see the black pixelation. That's actually the only time that you can really see it, by the way. It's like, I see it. Yeah.
And
Netflix,
then,
you're lying to me.
Well, yeah, they are. But and then they have the nerve at Vudu to prompt you to buy the Ultra HD version of it for $30.
Oh my goodness.
I just got the digital copy.
That's crazy.
Why do I have to pay the full price to get the Ultra HD upgrade, if you will? So the fact that this came with it is great. I want to send a shout out to Universal Studios for doing this. This is the right way to do it. They're also one of the studios that gives you both Ultraviolet and iTunes, not one or the other. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I am so sick of paying for movies because not everybody understands that it's either in one place or the other, usually not both.
Yeah, I'm a big fan when they do that. I also enjoy when they give me a Google Play movies version of it, which I think Fox does it. A few of them do it now. I'm a big fan. I look at that. I look for that specifically to buy it because I don't use iTunes. I have a Vudu account, so I'll add it to Vudu. But right. I actually add it to my Google Play movies, which honestly, this last week or the week before, added 4K streaming support. So I'm extremely curious if I will soon be able to buy a UHD Blu-ray and then actually get a digital copy for Google Play in UHD. That would blow my mind. And if they do, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah.
Also, this movie is
entirely possible.
This movie, if you haven't seen Secret Life of Pets, I've seen it.
I have not yet.
I saw 50% of it on a plane ride. And then it was so good that on the next plane ride, I had enough time to watch the full thing. And I rewatched the beginning half into all of it. It's fantastic. It's super hilarious. Great family flick. And also, if you're not having a family like me, it's also great.
Super. Or super, me.
Or Richard. It's great. You're going to love it. You're going to like it if you're watching on Blu-ray, if you're watching it on UHD digital copy, if you're watching it on HD digital copy, or if you're just watching the Blu-ray or just the DVD, you're going to love it. It's going to be great.
Oh, you know what I'm waiting to watch it on?
What?
My new UHD OLED TV.
Oh my gosh. Oh yeah, I heard you guys are silly.
In a box in the dining room.
Ugh. One day. That's the thing is, I can't even start to comprehend this stuff because I am refusing to upgrade from my beautiful Panasonic plasma.
I know. Well, now I don't know what I'm going to do with that. I have a feeling people can't see me, but I'm pointing to right behind my monitor. I want to mount it right there so that I look over my monitor and that's where my plasma is going to be. And I can just kind of have like a dashboard of stuff up there. I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be pretty great. I mean, I love my plasma so much. I mean, we just got a brand new mount for it. So I have the Axum underneath it. I even got like this support thing because I think it's like 75 pounds. That thing is heavy.
Yeah.
I got like a support thing so it doesn't tip over. But anyways, I digress.
Well, on my plasma, I have been watching a bunch of TV and I watched the Westworld season finale. I loved the series. I think they did such a good job. You know, I listened to Cord Killers, and it's been really interesting to listen to Brian and Tom discuss the show because Tom really liked it, and I think he took it a lot the way that I did. And when listening to Brian describe it, Brian described it like the way I felt when I was watching The Leftovers, where I got more and more angry every episode because I didn't understand what was going on. And I didn't get the point and why they were trying to make me care for these people that I just couldn't care about. I was totally drawn into Westworld. I don't know if it's because I was a fan of the original or what, but it sucked me in. I love what they did with it, and I'm very satisfied with the finale, and I think it sets up for a potentially fantastic second season that, unfortunately, isn't going to be here until 2018.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take some time. It's a high production show.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I also watched the crossover on the CW between all their superhero shows. They had this crazy event where they had a storyline that weaved from Supergirl into Arrow, into The Flash, and culminating in Legends of Tomorrow.
Was it four shows or one show that continued on over and over and over again?
It was four shows over the course of the week.
Oh my goodness.
So it was really clever because, A, it got me to watch Supergirl again, and I probably... I don't know if I'm ever really going to watch that series for real, but it got me to watch that show. Okay. And I'm already watching Arrow and The Flash, and it got me to watch Legends of Tomorrow again, which I have been recording, but haven't watched since the pilot because the pilot just didn't catch me enough. And I have to say, this might actually pull me back into that show. So if that was their intent, they won.
That's good.
But it was also a clever storytelling, and I really like it when they don't cop out on borrowing characters and using them in other shows, when they have like the real primary characters show up on each other's shows instead of just some secondary or tertiary character that you're like, well, of course it was easier to get her on. So I thought they did a good job with that. I watched the movie Lincoln. I had never seen that.
Good movie.
I bought it when it came out. I know that Josh talked about this when it came out because he's a huge fan of all things Lincoln, and he talked about really enjoying it. That was fantastic. And sadly, we lost a space exploration legend last week in John Glenn.
Rest in peace.
And I took the opportunity to rewatch the first episode of Discovery Channel's When We Left Earth. And I don't know if anybody has watched this or not before. It is available to purchase on Amazon in DVD form for like $8. And it's a 6-part series, and it is a documentary. It's not a reenactment. It is a documentary of everything that happened. And it is so catching. And I cannot tell you, if you are into space, if you love space exploration and the history of how we got into space, I was sitting there, as I did the first time that I watched this series, with total goosebumps as I'm watching some of these scenes. It is a fantastically told and executed series.
I need to watch it. It seems super interesting because I'm a big fan of space exploration and kind of everything that we're doing. But all that stuff is just super interesting in general. Just there's amazing people working on that stuff. It's bananas. So
yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You ready for
me? So, James,
you ready?
What have you been up to? What is going on in your entertainment center?
So, not too big in the, I would say, in the adjustment of my entertainment equipment at all. That's kind of like a 2017 project. People have heard sprinklings of what I'm going to be doing. Mostly everything is Android TV, right? And pretty good watching that. One thing that happened, Seattle Sounders won the MLS Cup. Boom. Just happened. That was actually interesting. It was streamed on Fox. It was the first time that the MLS Cup was ever broadcast live on OTA. It was on Fox. My Fox is the only channel that comes from a different tower in a different direction. So I have Spotty Fox. So yes, of course, they're the
Spotty Fox title.
Spotty Fox. So I subscribed for 1 month to Fox Soccer to Go, which has a terrible user interface, has a terrible application that streams extremely poorly, but was totally worth the $4.95. So that was fantastic. And then it brought me back to what I'm normally watching. So we're currently watching Project Runway, which is almost at its season finale. Super good. We're glad. Spoiler alert that Cornelius is gone. Didn't really like him very much.
Spoiler. Come on.
Whatever. That was a whole week and a half ago now. Walking the Walking Dead. And yes, it is correct. Terrible season. I'm going to keep watching it. It's terrible.
That's not a spoiler.
Spoiler alert. It's terrible, but you still love it and you can't get away from it. And then we are actually rewatching. I'm still watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine and Last Man on Earth and Shark Tank. Those are kind of my normal weeklies. We're actually rewatching for the last 2 weeks The Goldbergs. Have you watched The Goldbergs?
No, you know, I can't get past the ads. They make me so uncomfortable. It's like watching George Costanza. I'm so uncomfortable.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. We've been rewatching. It's kind of that 80s, 90s reminiscence, 80s reminiscence of stuff. We've been rewatching that because it's kind of fun to do that. And then, just like you, I got to watch the Westworld finale, but also at the same time, I watched the entire season in 2 days. That was the weekend project. We subscribed to the HBO Now inside of Amazon Prime, and we decided to watch all of Westworld because everyone was talking about it, and we had read no fan theory, no spoilers at all. So it was all fresh to us. I have no idea how we got around it.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. And everyone recommended watching it without reading anything. I've never watched the original Westworld or Future World, which I'm super excited to go back and watch from John Crichton.
Yeah, so actually, let's mention that Westworld is available to rent on Amazon, and Future World is available to watch for free on Amazon Prime.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Yeah, I'm going to be doing those pretty much this week, next week, over the holidays. Westworld, fantastic. Having known nothing about, besides that it's a Western, in essence, it's set in the West, parts of it at least.
No spoilers.
Super great. Super fantastic. I don't even know where to begin on fan theory. It reminded me of watching Stranger Things, where I wanted to, like, after every episode, I was frustrated. I had no idea what was going on, but I can't stop watching. And we got to 11 p.m. on Sunday night, and we had one episode left. I'm like, let's do this. And then we finished it off, and it was great.
Yeah.
And then part of the HBO is, we said, well, we have HBO for a month. What else can we binge watch and take HBO for all of its money? And we decided to start up a new series called Insecure, which is a fantastic. We watched two episodes, not family friendly show, but it's super great by Issa Rae. Essentially, it's kind of like the polar opposite of Girls, but not. I don't know. I can't really describe it. It's super good, but Issa works for this kind of community outreach for kids in, like, urban communities, and then her friend Molly kind of works in, like, a more professional status, and they're kind of good friends. I don't know. It's super good. It's super hilarious, and each episode's about 30 minutes, so it's not a full, you know, thing to go into to watch all of it. It's
nice.
It's really funny. I really enjoy it. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, Call Your Girlfriend. I've been playing Pokemon Go. Not Pokemon Go. I mean, on occasion, Pokemon Go, but I've been playing Pokemon Moon on the 3DS. Super fantastic game. I haven't been gaming much. And Titanfall 2, a fantastic game that you could pick up, and I'm pretty sure for $30. That is an amazing game. Titanfall 2, phenomenal. Pokemon Moon, it's the best Pokemon game I've ever played since the original Pokemon game. Super good on the 3DS. And Helds Are Not Dead. That's it.
Very cool.
Yep. Oh, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yep.
Ooh, ooh. I also got tickets for Sundays, for this Sunday, to go see Star Wars Rogue One. I've stopped watching trailers. I cannot wait to see it. Anyways, that was it. I'm very excited. Big Star Wars fan.
I'm very jealous. I really, really want to see that.
Yeah, I got up at midnight to buy tickets at the Cinerama, which is the only super Cinerama in the entire world. And of course, their website crashed terribly. They've only had 8 years to fix this, and they keep apologizing. So I got Wednesday, I got Sunday tickets. So opening weekend, 11 a.m., you know, should be calm. It'll be packed, but we got really good seats. Super excited about it. It's my favorite movie theater in the U.S., so very excited to go see that.
I am flying to the West Coast on Sunday, and I am hoping that I'll be able to get tickets to see that at the Metreon, ooh, either on Sunday night or sometime on Monday. I don't know.
That'd be nice. Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, that pretty much wraps it up. But you know, you mentioned podcasts, and I want to mention something really quick. We haven't talked about specific podcasts in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that a lot of our listeners know that I am a big fan of Molly Wood, formerly from CNET, and having done other things, she worked for the New York Times for a while, and she's moved into public radio.
Ooh.
She works at Marketplace, which is a series of shows put out by American Public Media. And Marketplace now is going to have a new show called Make Me Smart. And it is her and Kai Rizdahl, the correspondent who leads the main Marketplace podcast or radio show that is also released as a podcast. And the two of them are going to talk about a tech topic for 10 to 15 minutes. And it isn't officially out yet, but they're sneaking little mini episodes and information about the series. So if you're interested, I would suggest looking up Marketplace in your podcast catcher and look for Make It Smart with Molly Wood and Kai Rizdahl. The chemistry between these two is amazing. I think it is such incredibly engaging conversation. They don't always agree on stuff, and that's what I think makes for a great conversation.
Yeah, I agree. I've also been, I'm going to check that out. I've also have one podcast that I recently been getting into, which is good to go back and listen to, but Radiolab, I've always listened to. Radiolab has a spinoff called Radiolab Presents More Perfect, which is a podcast all about the Supreme Court. And they kind of explain how cases that are deliberated inside of the Supreme Court work and all this stuff. It's super good to listen to. They have quite a few episodes that are on the back channel. So I recommend checking out More Perfect. I think it's really good. Of course, you can grab that on any podcast player, but that's a really super professionally, you know, done podcast. So it's if you listen to Radiolab, it has a same series, but it's a mini series. That's the only thing with podcasts is they do these mini series. So it's kind of like, go check this out. And they're going to be launching a season two in 2017. So they have the season one that's available now, and check out season two in 2017. Super good.
All right. Well, speaking of super good podcasts, James, you have a new show, don't you? Not so new.
New-ish, maybe to the listeners at least. A little bit back a while ago, I started a brand new podcast. That's a weekly podcast, comes out every single Monday at midnight Pacific time. It's called Merge Conflict, which is a great name. I always like to mention that because podcast names are hard, and that took us 2 years to come up with. Me and my good friend Frank Krueger, 2 years ago, we said we were going to start a podcast. 2 years later, we finalized the podcast name and actually started it. It's called Merge Conflict. There's a weekly development podcast, technology and development. We tackle all sorts of different things in the world of technology, sometimes about mobile development, sometimes about normal development. This week, we talked about extending IDEs or like Visual Studio, Xamarin Studio, things like this, and kind of building tools for ourselves inside of the tools that we use every day, which is very similar to what home theater PC enthusiasts do, and they extend, you know, Media Center, extend all these really cool things.
Yeah.
It's a weekly show. They run around 30 to 40 minutes. And you can check us out at mergeconflict.fm. We'll put it in the show notes. And it's available on every single podcast streaming device app thingy that you could possibly think about. Mergeconflict.fm.
All right, great. And how else can people get a hold of you?
Yeah, you can get a hold of me. Just on Twitter is the easiest way, at James Montemagno. And if you like development, check out my blog, mots.codes, MOTZ.codes. That's a real domain name, I promise you that. And it'll go to my personal blog. But yeah, it's the easiest way to find me, at Twitter, at James Montemagno. And yeah, check me out.
Very good. Thank you so much for joining.
Absolutely.
Help me get through this.
Yes, thanks
for having me. I couldn't
have
done this myself.
Yes.
All right. Well, I think we've mentioned in the past, Josh and I are going to be at CES in January. So if you're going to be there, let us know and we'll try and connect with you informally. It's going to be a busy week, but we love meeting folks who are also in the local area when we get a chance to travel. So please connect with us if you're in the Las Vegas area or if you're going to be there for CES. That is going to wrap up this show. You can get a hold of me on Twitter at Richard Gunther. You can get a hold of Josh at Josh Pollard, and we are collectively at Digimedia Zone, DIGI Media Zone. We're also on Facebook as the DMZ. We're on Google Plus. And of course, don't forget about the Windows Media Center community, still alive and well out there. You can contact us in a number of ways. Easiest way is probably entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or you can use the contact form on our website. And don't forget, if you want to hear your voice, send us a link to an audio file. We would love to hear from you audibly. I host another show called Home On, and on the latest episode, I'm joined by Dave Evans from Stringify. And if you don't know what Stringify is, think IFTTT on steroids in a really good way. Check that show out. I learned a lot, and it's a service that I use. I love it. On our next show, there's a chance you might hear a familiar voice, because James Montemagno joined me to talk about Google Home. That'll either be in the next immediate show in the feed or the one after that. So listen in and hear what James thinks about the Google Home, the newest entrant in the home assistant category.
Just because I love everything Google doesn't mean that I am necessarily going to be like, this is the best thing that ever happened. So definitely listen to that one, because it is very intriguing.
Best thing ever. All right. Well, let us know how you feel about our shows. You can rate us or leave feedback on iTunes, Pocket Casts, and on Stitcher Radio and TuneIn Radio, Google Play, all the places where you can find us. Leave us a rating. We love it. It helps so much. And Home On was just in the top 10 again this week. So that is because of your ratings and your listening. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. We usually record live, and one of the ways that you can enjoy the show is by joining us in the chat room, usually on Tuesdays at 8:30 when we do record. We will always let you know what's going on Twitter. If we're not recording live like we didn't for this episode, we'll let you know that too. But if we are, it's fun to join in the conversation. James, you're often in there, sometimes heckling us.
That's what I do. People love. And that's why you bring me on the show, so I stop heckling and get along.
Exactly. All right. Well, that is going to do it for episode 391. I'm Richard Gunther. He's James Montemagno. Josh will be back next time for episode 392. I'll probably not be, because I'll be traveling. And then it's going to get real crazy around the holidays. So keep a watch on Twitter, and we'll let you know what we're doing and publish our plans there. Until then, we'll talk to you later.